righty. Let's turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. And we're going to start reading with verse 1 down to verse 9. First Peter, chapter 5, verse 1 through verse 9. I do thank you for them songs. I love hearing the old songs. I don't love to hear these new songs that they got out today, because I can't even understand them. And I love it when people can get up and sing without music and sing a cappella. I really do, because that way you can be able to know what they're singing. You can be able to pick out the words and speak to your heart. But some of these I hear that they got the music so loud, and they got the instruments so loud that you can't even hear them singing. Only thing that you can hear is the instruments, and that's it. And I don't think that's right, but that's up to them and in church, but I don't particularly care for it like that. I like to be able to understand what I'm hearing. And I believe that's the way the Lord wants it, because He wants us to hear from heaven, hear from Him, and He don't want a bunch of He just don't want us out here among the people and be in a group of people where they just talking and they talking about this and they talking about that and everything, and you don't understand what they're talking about, and God can be speaking to you about, you need to just go on and back up and just go on back to what you was doing. And you can get like that, and you can say, God, why didn't you just take me away from that group and lead me somewhere else? And we say, well, Lord, I didn't hear you. Because we're so tuned into what everybody else is saying. But I do thank you for you singing. I wish the Lord would really could give me a little better voice, and because I love trying to sing, but I know that I'm not that good at it. I'd love to be able to play the piano. I really would. But my wife and my daughter, they says it'll take you too long to learn. It may take a while, but the Lord just touch me to where I can just get up and just play the notes and everything. They say, because it ain't but two or three notes that you play on a piano or guitar or anything, that where you can take the song and it will work itself out, and because that's what somebody's told me, that he's been playing the guitar probably for all his life, I reckon. He says, it's not but two or three notes. If you learn that and how to grab them two or three notes, especially on the guitar, it's not a song I hear that you cannot play. And I wish somebody could teach me them three or four notes.
Duh.
But which I can't read notes and everything, but that's all right. But tonight here, I want to be speaking tonight on something that we as Christians sometimes we don't realize. And that is where he takes care of us. Where he careth for us. But here in verse 1 in chapter 5 of the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5 and verse 1, the elder which are among you I exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. The word constraint, that means we don't need to hold back. Sometimes we will get something on our heart, we'll get something on our mind that we need to explain to people, and we tell people, but we'll just hold it. No, I don't need to do that because they're not going to understand it. Well, that's true. It's a whole lot I don't understand in this book either. But I thank the Lord that he teaches me what it says. We need to hold back. We don't need to hold back. We don't need to have restraint, constraint. But willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. We don't need to hold back. That filthy lucre is money. We don't need to hold back what God has so graciously give us. Because he gives it to us freely. Because really, if we had to earn it, the way the Word of God speaks about it, I don't know if anyone that will ever have any kind of means at all of survival or taking care of the family of anything, because God, he is the only one that can help us. I've come to learn that you cannot outgive God. It's nothing you can do. We cannot outgive God. I cannot outgive God. Because when I give to God, God always gives me back more than what I gave him. But here in Peter says, neither as being lord over God's heritage, but being example to the flock. Neither as being lords. Other words, don't be over the people and dictating to the people and what they need to do. But we need to be examples of the Lord Jesus Christ to the flock. What is a flock? The flock is you and me. And the individuals that we go out there and we check on every day and every week, we go out and check on them. We go out and check on them and see how damaged they've been. And when they've been damaged and when they've been hurt. That's when somebody else has done got them mixed up. They don't know what to believe anymore. Do you know any Christians that way? I do. They don't know what to believe anymore. Why? Because you have all of the doctrine, I hear. And I forgot what this one individual said. He says he searched every one of them out. The Baptists, the Independent Baptists and Southern Baptists, the Methodists, the Holiness, the Independent Methodists, the Episcopals and the Presbyterians and all of that. He says each and every one of them has got a different doctrine somewhere. They've left that one doctrine, but they've added something new in. It's nothing we can add to this scripture. If we add to it what God is so gracious to give us, He will take it away from us. We cannot add to it, and we cannot take away from the Word of God. He tells us plainly that in the book of Revelation, chapter 22. We cannot add and we cannot take away from the Word of God. We must preach it just like it says. We must believe it just like it reads. And if we do that, if we read it and if we take God's word at its face value and what it's saying. See, what it's saying is He's speaking to me. When I get alone at home and when I read the Bible, who is God speaking to? Is God speaking to you? No. God's speaking to me, because why? Because I'm reading His Word. When you're at home and you're reading the Word of God, you may be reading different scripture than what I'm reading. Is the Lord going to speak to me? Reveal to me what He is trying to reveal to you? No. He's going to be speaking directly to the individual that's reading the Word of God. That's the reason He says that we need to get into a closet. Now that's done. He's not speaking of literally a closet where you go in and you open that door and then you got clothes in there and everything, and you get in there and you take your little chair in there and you sit down in there. You don't have no phone. You don't have nothing to disturb you. That's not what He's talking about. What He's talking about there, we need to be by ourselves. We don't need to have no distractions to come our way that will hinder us from hearing from the Holy Spirit as He speaks. But we must hear and understand what we have read. And He will speak to us. He will speak to us as we're reading the Word of God. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The chief shepherd. Who is the chief shepherd? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the under shepherd? The leader, the pastor of the church is what He calls me and everything. And for me, being an under shepherd, I must look after you. I must care for you and your needs. And I must pray for you. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, When the chief shepherd shall appear. We can stop right there and we can stay on that for a month of Sundays. It says in verse 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. What the chief shepherd is speaking about here, I believe he's speaking to the elders of the church, the elder Christians, the Christians that have been saved for a while, that have learned the different things in the Christian life and the way that they must obey the Lord and the way that they need to just do everything they can to get in touch with them for the younger people in the church. If we are not willing to pray for the individuals that come into the house of the Lord that's not here today, what's wrong? It's not God's fault. Who is he speaking to? Talking about the younger. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. That could be speaking to a 40, 50. That could be speaking to a 70 or an 80-year-old individual. Why? Why would you say that would be speaking towards an older person and calling them younger? The chief shepherd has came. The chief shepherd has spoke to me and has spoke to you about going out and telling somebody about the Lord Jesus. We don't go out here and just pick out a group of people that's this age. That's not what he wants us to do. He just wants us to go out and to tell people, individual of all ages. They can be in the youth group. They can be in a youth. They can be 7 or 8. If they know the difference between right and wrong, then they have an opportunity. They have an opportunity to accept the Lord or reject it. Because see, that is truth and wrong. So they know the difference between right and wrong. How many individuals you know of today that's just like that? That you know of, they know the difference between right and wrong. But yet we'll turn around and we'll say, well, they just too young to get saved. Here about 2, maybe 3, probably about 4 or 5 years now. That me and Brother James, we went to a revival. And we had never heard this individual preach. And when he came up, and he come up behind the pulpit, we thought maybe he was going to sing a song. Because he wasn't old enough, we thought, to preach. He won't 10 years old. He won't but 9. I can remember Joe Arthur said, when Joe Arthur was living here in Dan, in Danville, or Pennsylvania County at the time, and when he went out and preached and everything, he was called to preach at a young age. And he said his mama and his daddy, his mama would even, she testified to the day, to the fact that little Joe, they called him little Joe back then, that he would come in their house and where other people, if they would come visiting him and everything, he'd tell mama and daddy, he said, mama, it's time. Daddy, it's time. See, because it was more than two there. It was other people there. He said he'd have maybe 5-6 people come in, would be visiting his daddy and his mother, which his daddy was a preacher. He pastored down here at Glen Hill Baptist Church there for years until he went to Marion, Virginia. But his mother, it said that just as soon as some people would come in, get settled, little Joe, he would go and get his Bible. And he'd pull that little stand out that somebody had made for him. And he'd place that Bible up there on that. He'd call that his pulpit. He said, I'm going to place my Bible right here in the pulpit. And they say he got up there and he got to preaching. And he says, I'm going to tell you. Says that young boy said he could preach better than any preacher that's been preaching for years. Why? Because see, he had heard about it. He had heard about it. He had heard about the things that was being preached. And me and Brother James, and we heard that preacher preach one night. He won't be 9 years old. And he got up there, and I'll tell you one thing. I'm ashamed to call myself a preacher compared to him. He knew something. He knew more than what I knew. He even knew more back when he was 9 years old than what I know now. And I'm 67. And being saved now going on 37 years. But he told us all something that we'd never heard before. And you know what it was? You know what it was? It was using the word faith. But he brought it out in a different way. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ said in the book of Philippians, all things are possible. Then he said, in the book of Peter, 1 Peter, says that he careth for you. He said he careth for you so much that he wants you to have a faith in him to where people can have enough confidence in you. What you're saying that will help them. I mean, and I tell you something, he just didn't get up there and preach and just stop for about 10 minutes either. I mean, he preached for a half hour. And that little boy, I'm going to tell you one thing. I mean, he was quoting scripture and everything. When the time come at the end of the message and everything, he had prayer.
He prayed. And he would be standing off to the side from the pulpit. And after he got through praying, he says, "If there's someone here tonight," and he said, "I believe that there's someone here tonight, that if you was to die tonight, you'd go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to know the same Savior that I know." Now, don't get me wrong. I know that probably him being that young and up there preaching, and the way he preached and everything, it spoke to people's hearts. And they came out, they came to the altar, and they prayed. I don't know if anybody got saved that night, but I'll tell you one thing, but he preached. That's what some of these preachers I hear, these pastors I hear that has a church, they need to listen to some of these young preachers I hear that's preaching the Word of God. I mean, they can preach like they've never preached before. And when you hear them, it gets to you. You say, "Well, shoot, I ain't doing nothing for the Lord. I ain't doing nothing for God. I mean, I didn't put that much time in my message tonight." But I tell you, he done it because he cared for us. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him. For he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resistest steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." We have the same afflictions. We have the same problems with these bodies as the people in the world does. But one difference between us having the same affliction and the same problems as the other people have, there's one difference. We know that we're saved, and we know that the Lord will help us through it. But yet we also know that the reason that we go through the situation, we have the problems, is that where God can take that problem, can take that sickness, and our faith can be built up. That's the reason he allows all of this to come about. Because see, when the just as soon as our faith kind of dwindles or just a little bit, better watch out. You better watch out. Because God is about to do something. Because God wants your faith. He wants my faith to be built up and be built up so strong to where when we go out there, we don't have to worry about who we speak to. We just need to speak the Word of God. I know with Brother Bill, he's told me many times, he's a preacher, I just don't understand it. Why I'm having to go through all of this. I don't understand it because
I have been praying and being able to go full time on the mail route. But then he come back and he said, "Preacher, I just don't understand it. I just don't understand when the mail route come open full time. Why did all of this hit me?" I said, "Brother Bill, I don't know. You're the only one, and God's the only one that knows. But I believe I can say this, and I know it to be true, that when you go through it, yeah, it's going to be some hard times you going through it. I said, but I will promise you one thing, that once you go through it, and once you come through it and go through it, and when it's in the past, you will come to find out what the real reason was for it. And not until then. Because see, God knows what He wants your life to be. He wants you and your life to shine for Him. He wants not only your life, but He wants my life to shine for Him. He wants all of our lives to shine for Him. And when our life is not shining for the Lord, that's when our faith gets weak. Just like the candle under the basket, where they put the candle up under the basket, where the light would not shine. Yeah, it may give out a little flicker because maybe it might have some slats in there, might have little openings in it, and they can see a little glimpse of some light. Maybe God just sees a little glimpse of His light in our life. And if He sees that little glimpse of light in our life, where we done just about done covered it up with the worldly stuff, with all the sin I hear, we take our minds off of Him, what happens? That means the devil has come in. The devil has attacked us. And one, I did say this to Brother Bill. I said, "Brother Bill, you know," I said, "I'm not telling you something that you probably don't already know." I said, "But did you realize," and I said, "I'm sure you do, that the devil, he had to go to the Father. He had to bypass the Holy Spirit. He had to bypass the Son. He went all the way to the Heavenly Father. And he asked the Father permission, for permission to attack you in a way that, well, you know that when he does, that he knows that your faith is going to be built upon. Why? Because you've served him so long. And when we get down and when we get out and when we get by ourselves and everything, and when something hits us and we never expected it, what's the first thing that comes about? What's the first thing that we think of? We say, "God, why me? God, why did you allow this to happen to me? You know I've been faithful to you. says, son, but you know, I remember a time that when you was a whole lot more faithful to me than what you are now. I need you to be faithful. And I needed you to take out the word. And I need you to look at that word and examine that word, faith. And I'm so glad. I didn't have no idea where I would pastor again. I didn't have no idea if I'd ever would pastor again. See, my lack of faith. That was me. The lack of faith. So God says, okay. Says, since you got the lack of faith, I'm going to open up a church door for you. And he says, Faith Baptist Church. He says, you will remember that and you will remember that day in and day out. Faith. I love him tonight more than I have him in my life, I reckon. I do. I love y'all. I really do. I love the ones that's even not here tonight. And I know the reason they're not here. I know Brother Bill, he would be here if it's any way possible, he could. Matter of fact, he told me on the phone this evening. Tonight. He says, I was aiming to come tonight. He said, but, you know, I had somebody else looking after me. And they just wouldn't let me come. I said, Bro Bill, I said, on top of that, I think it would probably maybe a little bit too early if you just kind of get out and come and sit for 20 minutes. And he laughed at me. He said, now wait a minute. I mean, if I come to church now, it's going to be at Faith. And says, I don't remember the last time you ever preached 20 minutes. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing tonight. Father, we thank you for what you are doing for Faith Baptist Church, Lord. And you are helping us, Father, to keep our faith, that our faith may be stronger each and every day as we go out and serve you. Now, Lord, we just ask, Father, that you will be with us this coming week. And, Father, that you may speak to our hearts about someone that needs the gospel, that needs to be saved, Father. Lord, we just pray, Father, that you may help us, that we will go out and seek the one that you want us to seek. And Father, we pray, Lord, for Brother Bill, Sister Irma that's not here tonight. And Lord, yes, we pray for Sister Nancy that's not here. We know where she's at. She's working. I know that she would love to be here. But Father, we pray, Lord, that her family can see something within her life. Father, the faithfulness that she has to this church. Lord Jesus, it will be spoken out loud around her children, Father. Father, I pray, Lord, for the ones that's next door. I do not even know if they're going to church somewhere. I don't know. But I do know, Lord, the last time I spoke to either one of them, they wasn't going nowhere. And I just told them, just get in church. Get in a Bible-believing church. Because I tell you, you are misery. You're in misery. You're miserable. You don't know what to do anymore. And the reason for it is because you done got away from God. You done got out of His church. He established a church for all Christians to be in his house. And Father, we do thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen.